life and the teachings of Rav Kook. Was one of the most profound and radical and beautiful and uplifting and inspiring thinkers. Someone that I am always just blown away by his thinking and his ideas. And I was really hoping to spend all of Pesach, both in terms of the sermons and the classes in the afternoon and the weeks leading up, talking about Rav Kook, teaching me about Rav Kook, and focusing on his ideas on Pesach specifically. Rabos machshavos b'levish, as David HaMelech says, we have many thoughts. Vatzas Hashem Hisakum, God's thought process is the one that prevailed. So none of that happened. I didn't really have a chance. I certainly didn't have a chance to teach any of that. I also didn't really have a chance to study many of his ideas the way I really wanted to. So what I'd like to do for the next two nights, tonight and tomorrow night, is just share very briefly some very, very brief thoughts from Rav Kook. Really two thoughts. I'm just trying to find my way. Give me one second. There we go. Okay. All right. So here we go. Two thoughts. Two very simple. Not simple. They're a little bit esoteric, but that's okay. We're gonna try to really approach our Pesach Seder, at least in the back of our mind. These are ideas that maybe we could be thinking about. Hard to sometimes express, but maybe in the back of our mind to be thinking about. And so I'll share with you his scheme. Two ideas. One, his scheme for understanding the sections of Karpas, Yachatz, and Magid. Okay, and then a general thought about freedom. Okay, so in terms of his thought, it begins really with some background, and that is that Rav Kook sees a bit of a dichotomy or really a duality in our life between the more elevated and the things which are much more about survival, the things that we just need for our core existence, okay? So there's the more elevated, the things which are beyond, you know, if you want to think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, for those of you who remember that from back in the day, right? So you need your most basic needs, your physiological needs taken care of, and then your emotional needs, right? And you have these foundations. So Rav Kook sees it in a more simple two columns. There are the things that we focus on for survival, and then there are the things that we... One second, sorry, let me just go ahead and do some muting, sorry. The things we need for survival, and then there are the things that we, not for survival, but more for an elevated type of existence, okay? So, with that in mind, he says the following. He says that we begin, the first thing we eat after Kiddush, of course, is karpas. Karpas, as we pointed out last week, whatever it was, a bunch of days ago, maybe it was 2 weeks ago now, on a Thursday night, we spoke about the fact that it's an appetizer. An appetizer is really not meant to fill you up. An appetizer is more, in his viewpoint, the more elevated type of eating, because it is something which it doesn't really satisfy you anyways. It's not meant for survival. It's more something which enhances your eating process. That's what karpas is. It's much more elevated. And he says we begin our Seder eating karpas because really we begin almost with the end in mind, that we begin with the goal in mind. And the goal is really to live this more elevated existence when we're not focusing on survival. We're focusing on something far, far beyond that, far more elevated than survival. And that's what the appetizer is. Again, we normally think of appetizers in a very much an indulgent way, but he's asking us to kind of bend our minds and think of an appetizer not in the sense of the shmorg at a wedding, we're just gorging ourselves, but thinking of an appetizer as symbolic of something much more elevated. It's not about the satisfaction. Again, if you're doing this in the ideal fashion, you're eating a really, really small piece of that celery or potato or whatever it is. And the idea is it doesn't satisfy us. It's eating, which symbolizes a much more elevated existence. That's the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate goal. But then we move on to, what's the next stage? Yachatz. Yachatz, what do we do? And this is such a beautiful and idea which really just resonates with what we're actually doing in Yachatz. We break the matzah in half, right? And what do? One half of that matzah is eaten when we say motzi matzah, right? Meaning at the end of the whole Haggadah, at the end of the whole Magid section, one half is eaten for the mitzvah of eating matzah, which is the first thing we do after going through the whole or a good chunk of the Haggadah. The other half, what do? The other half? We save it for the afikomen, right? So one half is eaten. Think about the two types of eating that is going on. So we break the matzah in half, and what are we doing? One half is eaten. Who's hungry when you finish Magid? That's me raising my hand. I'm starving, right? Let's be honest. No matter what you snacked on during the day, and you're not supposed to eat too much during the day, you're starving when you get to matzah. And so that first type of eating symbolizes, so one half symbolizes the survival mode, right? It symbolizes the fact that we are just eating because we are supposed to, our body needs it. It's a very physical, animalistic base type of eating. The next half of that matzah, when do we eat that? Again, that's the afikomen. At that point, are we hungry? Not at all. We're kind of fighting ourselves to remain, to leave a little bit of room in our stomach for the afikomen. And that symbolizes that more elevated type of existence. And what Rav Kook suggests is that what we have to understand is that yes, our goal is elevated existence, but we have to appreciate and embrace the fact that life is made of those two components. You cannot escape survival mode. There are times in our life when we just need to survive. And that is symbolized by one half. There are times in our life when we're able to do things which are far more elevated. And I thought to myself as I read this, isn't that so relevant to all of us, right? We think about Pesach, and for many of us, it's family, and it's the beautiful Haggadahs that we're going to read, and the ideas that we're going to be reading. But sometimes in life, we just need to go through survival mode. Sometimes we just have to just push ourselves, and we're going to crash a night. I don't know about you. I'm drinking way too much coffee right now. We're just pushing, and that's okay. Many of people in the world right now are just in survival mode, and many of us are on a whole spectrum, right? Thank God, if you're on this call, you're healthy and you're well. Baruch Hashem. Of course, some people's survival mode means something very different. But all of us, in our own way, we are in survival mode on some level. And what this stage of the Haggadah, when we break it in half, is we have to recognize we cannot always have that karpas type of existence. There will be the motzi matzas. There will be the times we just are trying to get by. And yes, there will be other times in life, maybe not this year, maybe another year, or maybe some days or some moments this year when we'll have that more afikomen, more elevated type of existence. But we have to embrace the fact that we also have the survival mode as well. Then we move to Magid. What is Magid? The one directive that we have in Magid, as the Gemara tells us, is we begin with Genus, we begin with the low moments, and then we end on the high notes. Right? So if you look, it says, Mitzchila hayu ovdei avodah zarah, hayavasenu ovdei avodah zarah. Our forefathers were idolaters, right? Or we say we used to be slaves for Paro, and then God brought us close to the Torah, or and then God redeemed us and made us free, right? So we begin with the bad, and then we move on to the good. What's going on over there? So if Cook suggests beautifully, what we're doing in that next stage is that we're showing that the two are not broken apart. So often we think, okay, there's survival mode, and there is more elevated, when I'm able to actually be on top of myself, when I'm able to be a much better person, right? There's the more elevated parts of my existence, the more inspiring parts. He says, no. We broke it because in our mind, we think they're two separate things. But what Magid does is it brings them together. It shows how they're all part of one story. It starts off with the lows. It starts off with the things that we are not proud of and we're just kind of trudging by, the fact that we were slaves or the fact that even we made some serious mistakes. It's those low moments, but they are directly, they're intricately connected to the highs. They're completely connected to the elevated moments. And so in the moment we think, I'm just in survival mode, right? But when we have a moment to sit back and say the story, when we're able to reflect on these moments, you know, in an ideal world, I would love, you know, everyone keeps on journal during these times. I don't know about you. I'm trying. I haven't really had a chance to do so. But when we sit down, God willing, sooner than later, and reflect upon this time, we'll be able to see how the two are not two separate parts. They're not two separate tracks. But through these struggles, through these challenging times, it actually brought us to those elevated moments as well. And that is the whole goal of Magid. To connect the bad, to connect the low, to connect our survival mode with the elevated and realize they're all one. You can't have one without the other. It begins in the choshech, it begins in the darkness, and it ends up in the light. But because it was in the darkness, we need the survival mode so that we'll be able to have our elevated moments as well. That is what we're doing. We begin with the goal. The goal is our elevated existence. We then acknowledge the fact that there is this division in our lives. There is survival mode, and there is also the more elevated. And we also have to recognize that usually in our life, we see them as two separate tracks. And it's hard sometimes when our survival mode, I want to be there. I want to be in that more elevated. But when we get to Magid, and we start to say the story, And this is, again, we're talking about Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're talking about our ancestor stories. But really, really what we're also trying to do is say the story of our lives. And we're trying to reflect for a moment about the struggles, about the moments we're just pushing and trudging and recognizing and seeing how the gnus, how the low moments, how the survival mode really is connected to our greatest highs. That is Karpas, Yachatz, and Magid. And that is what we're trying to do on Seder night, and that is really what we're trying to do every day. We're trying to, A, accept the fact that we have survival mode in our life, but when we're able to have that more lofty perspective, we're able to stop and say, wow, that wasn't just survival. Those were actually some of the finest moments of my life. When I was just trying to get by, when I was just trying to calm my nerves, and I was just trying to make it through, get ready for Pesach, I'm just running and running, and I think I'm just surviving. No, no, no. Those are our highest moments. They're connected and they are one and the same, and they bleed into one another and they lead into one another, and they really paint this beautiful picture if we just stop and appreciate it. Karpas, Yachatz, Magid. I said I'm going to say 2 points. I'm going to stop with this. I think we should sit on that. There's what to think about. There's what to say. We'll pick up tomorrow night. We'll pick up tomorrow night. It's really been great seeing you. I know this is short, but just a short little thought to think about at your Seder and really to think about now, because the story of the Seder is, of course, not just the story of Pesach night. It's a story of our life every single moment. So thank you for joining. We'll pick up, God willing, tomorrow evening at 8 for a short thought from Rav Kook on the Haggadah. And Tuesday, unfortunately, there will not be a class. We'll be busy doing our Badika. But until then, have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful night. Thank you for joining me for a little bit of learning. And we should all be well. Take care. Have a good night. Happy cleaning. Happy cleaning, really. You should be well. You should be well. Take care, everyone. Take care. Have a good night. Have a good night. I just unmuted you. Okay. Have a good night. Take care. Take care. Good night. Good night.
Where did you get the haircut?
Where did I get the haircut? coronavirus haircut. My wife. Thank you for noticing.
It looks good.
Why, thank you.
You say making appointments?
She's busy cutting my son's hair right now, actually.
Yeah, but she can use a bowl for that, right?
That's right, that's right. Bring back the 80s, right?
80s? How about the 50s?
They come back every few decades. Have a good night. Take care, take care. Shishi, please go back to bed. Okay, you're right. Okay, give me a second. Thank you.